This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Montgomery Martinez, and I'm interviewing
Thomas Shambola
at my place, Family Pizza, at 204
East 198th Street,
Bronx, New York,
10458.
On October 11th, 2021, at 3:13 p.m., do you give us permission to record
yes.
and make public to oral history?
Yes, I do.
Please remember, throughout this interview, you do not have to answer any questions that makes you uncomfortable. Okay. Second set would be Bashir.
Yep. All right. So some of the basic interview, some of the basic info for the interview: age, gender, ethnicity. Okay. Where are you from, Thomas? And tell me how long you or your family ended up in New York City. And when did you start working at the shop? Finally, how did you begin working or starting buying the business?
Maybe 17, 18. I knew the owner of the business when I first started. He gave me a chance and I've been there ever since. And that was 20 years later.
Okay, that was good. Person three, Kadra, exploring the business.
Okay. Can you like describe your business in your own words?
Well, we're a pizzeria. We sell food. We're good customer friendly people. And we've been in the business for almost now, but 35 years. Same, we've been in the same location and we're a good community service for the community. We help everybody, you know, we feed them.
Do you know anything about the history of your business or the name of your business?
The name of the pizzeria is My Place Family Pizza. When we first started, it was called My Place. Then we changed it after the new owner came. And that's basically about it, really. Nothing really to it, really. Just changing the name of the pizzeria, new owners. And before we was owned by an Italian guy, now the pizzeria is owned by Turkish people. Basically it.
Has the business become a significant source of pride for you and your family?
Not really. Just for the community, yes. I can say for the community, for the families in the community, yeah. You can say yes. See, it's helped a lot.
Okay. How long has the shop been open?
It's been open since 1974, so it's about 35 years now, maybe close to 40 years.
That's really long.
Yeah.
Like, how did you attract your clients?
Just by being there for them. We don't use no internet or stuff like that, like Zoom or Uber Eats and that. We just serve the community. They come in and we serve them. That's it, really. And telephone mm-hmm. deliveries.
Mm-hmm. The other question is, what are like the most popular like food you sell?
Oh, lasagna is the best. Lasagna, spaghetti, meatballs. You know, pizza is the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Burgers, chicken parmesan, spaghetti, all that good stuff. What Italian food that we have there too is good.
That's good. That's it.
Okay, thank you. And person four, Joe's Reed Neighborhood.
Hi,
Josery, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Sorry for the noises. Tell me about your neighborhood. Where your business is located. What street is on it?
The business is located in 240 East 198th Street, Bronx, New York, 10458. The neighborhood has changed a lot since a lot of things have happened in the neighborhood. People have been, you know, missing and gone and passed away.
All right. What else is in the street where you work?
There's Chinese food, there's the bank. They're opening up a new spot down the block for a chicken spot. We got the cuchi fritos, we got the Dominican food, we got a whole bunch of different diversity of different foods in the neighborhood.
All right. How has the street or your neighborhood changed since you started working there?
Definitely has changed. It's gotten worse and it's gotten better in the same time, you could say that. Because I've seen good friends lost or stupid things in his neighborhood, which shouldn't have happened, but it happened. But you know, other than that, the streets are safe to a certain point. As long as you're not outside too close, you go.
Do you consider it safe neighborhood? Do you think your neighborhood is safe?
Yes, it's safe. In certain areas, yeah. As long as you do the right thing and you know what you're doing, you're going, not doing out there and doing nothing stupid, you'll be all right.
Okay. What does it look like in front of and around the store? How does your store look like?
I don't know how to get that question. Well, basically, at certain times the streets can be dirty and sometimes the streets can be clean. It depends on the type of day it is or the type of week it is. Yeah. Or who's out there partying. Because you got some people that are out there, they do little parties out the street and they leave all that garbage in the street. And some people they clean it up, some people just leave it there. So it depends on the people. If they're messy people, they're gonna leave the mess there. They're gonna leave all the beer bottles and alcohol bottles and food dispensary containers, everything, and just leave it there in the street for the super to clean up or somebody else to clean it up.
Yeah. Okay. And how is the condition of the sidewalks and street?
There's potholes everywhere. There's cracks in the streets and the sidewalks. If you don't watch, you're gonna trip and bust your butt.
Oh. Okay.
These people, these owners don't take care of the streets too much at all. The supers and the building. And then we got a building being constructed next to our pizzeria, so it's been a real hassle with the dirt and the when the wind picks up, there's debris everywhere.
Yeah. So it is not possible to work around, or it is?
It's comfortable to work around as long as you're around the right people. It's comfortable. You don't want to work around people that you don't trust and you don't like. It makes it worse. But when you work around people that you could trust and you love them and you respect them, the day's gonna go perfect.
Okay, sounds good. Do you have access to public transit there?
Yes, we have buses and trains and all that good stuff, cabs, all that. They even put electric bikes around the neighborhoods. But them things are horrible. They take up so much parking space for everybody now. It is ridiculous now with them, them access free scooter things that you pay for. They take up a lot of parking spaces for everybody. So a lot of people are upset about that in the neighborhood.
Okay. And do you guys have park parks.
We have a few parks. We have have Marshall Parkway. We got Poe Park. We got Central Park. St. James Park. You got a few parks here. Some of them are clean, and some of them are not too clean. Some of them are safe, okay, and some of them are not too safe. It's got to be know what time of day you're going to the park. You don't want to be in the park too late, because then you have all these weird people walking around.
Yeah. And lighting?
Lighting?
Are there lights on the street? Yes.
The lights could be better. Sometimes they're a little too dim for the street lights, but basically most of the buildings already got lights. But there's certain areas around where it's dark, and you don't want to walk in them dark streets.
Okay.
Trees, there are a lot of trees in the neighborhood. They just put some new trees and stuff like that.
Oh, that's nice. And do you guys have water fountains?
Water property? No. Not really. The only water property that I say is the reservoir. That's about it. Okay. There's no park where you go and see the waterfalls and stuff like that. Not here in the Bronx, really. You got to go to Manhattan and stuff like that to see that fancy stuff.
And there are street signs, right?
Street signs? Yeah, there's a bunch of street signs. They just added a new street sign for a big pun in Fordham.
It is big. Yeah, okay. Next person can ask.
All right, thank you. And person five, neighborhood and community. So are you up for it?
Yes. So my first question is, would you like to see any changes made to the neighborhood to make it a more welcoming environment? What will those changes be?
Just a better community effort for people to, you know, clean the streets and do what they got to do. Because lately there have been a lot of people, like homeless people around here, and they ask for change and this and that. And sometimes it gets a little bit too much because you know what they're going to do with the money. And it's hard just to not say no to them because you know what they're going to do with the money. So some people, they either just buy them food or they just sit there all day and ask for money in the streets. And it's a hassle sometimes because you see the people every day and they ask you every single day. Sometimes I give it to them, sometimes I don't, because I know what they're gonna use it for. And it's hard to to see them like that.
Do you communicate with the neighboring shops?
Yes, we do. Sometimes if we short on some items, we go to the next store. And we actually will, can we give you this? And then next time we give it back to you. And they say yes. So we have a good community outlook for some of the stores. They look out for us and we look out for them. It's a community, like a family in the neighborhood, you say.
Mm-hmm. Do you engage with the neighboring shops in the collective activities?
Collective activities? No. Like sports activities, no, we don't do nothing like that, or barbecues, nothing like that. We just, they do their business, we do ours, and everybody stays in their space. It's not really a community, store-friendly community where everybody in the stores help each other. No, not like that. It's not friendly like that.
Everybody, so there's no bonding between local businesses?
Bonds. No, I haven't seen any like that. Any bonding with local businesses, no.
Okay. What are your hours and how does the clientele change based on the time of the day?
That's a good question. Well, I work sometimes 50 hours a week, sometimes 55. It's long hours, sometimes opening and closing 11 to 10 or 10 to 11. Or 11 to 11, depending on the shifts. And the people can change in a heartbeat. Sometimes they come in nice 1 minute and then come in with an attitude the next minute and you have to deal with it. It's not easy. Being in the food industry is not, because you gotta deal with the community, you gotta deal with their attitudes. And that so-called customer's always right, it's a bunch of nonsense. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. And they'll sit there and argue with you, oh, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. But then you're wrong. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And they don't want to admit it. And that's the problem that we've been having in the community with certain people. They come in and think they're all big shot, and they think they want to run everything in the store. They want to get discounts. They don't want to pay for the full price and stuff like that. But you know, other than that, people are okay. There's just some people in the neighborhood are a little too much.
Okay, and now it's my turn. Community, remember, you do. Remember, my turn. Community, remember, you do not have to answer these questions if this makes you uncomfortable. Have you been received by the community?
What do you mean by received? Well, I'm pretty known in the neighborhood. Last night I'm in the store and lady walks out. She goes, "Oh, you're the pizza guy." Yeah, that's how people know me by, as the pizza guy. They don't call me by my name, Thomas. They call me, "Oh, the pizza man's here." The little kids, they were like, "Oh, it's the pizza guy, it's the pizza guy." I could be somewhere else and not paying attention. And I hear somebody, "Is that the pizza guy?" So I'm known in the neighborhood. Because I'm a very friendly person. I treat everybody with respect. As long as you have respect, I treat you with respect.
That's great, honestly. Have you interacted with the community?
Yes, I have. Because we back in the days, we used to give free pizza for Halloween to little kids in the community. We used to love that day. But now that we got new owners, it's a different. They don't want to do it. So this last Halloween, we had one of my friends from my neighborhood. He paid for the pizzeria, for the pizza, paid like $107. And we gave pizza for the community. He came with his friends he works in the hospital. So he came out with some of the doctors from the hospital, and we just gave pizza to the community, to some people in the community, little kids. And that was good. We haven't done that in years. And that brought the spirits up for the community.
Oh, okay. Have you ever dealt with racism, discrimination, in your work?
Kind of, because we have a different ethnicity that comes. We have Asian, we have so many people that come in, all different races and cultures. And you have to deal with them, and you have to treat them with respect. Like if we have a Muslim customer come in and they want to slice, we have to make sure the knife is clean. Because we use pork and we use all that, and they don't eat that stuff. So they come in, they say, "Oh, can you clean the knife for me, please, before you cut the pizza?" And we say, "Sure, no problem." We try to help everybody out.
Oh, okay. Are there any memorable events that took place at the store since you began working there?
Yes, we've had someone shoot a music video next door to our shop. We've had someone do a movie. Actually, a couple weeks ago, they filmed a movie in front of in our shop in the back for Netflix, but we don't know when it's supposed to come out. I myself shot a video across the street from the pizzeria. So that's what I'm also working on music at the same time I'm doing pizzeria. So it's been a hassle. It's been tough. It's not easy.
Oh, okay. That sounds awesome. Bish, person 7, Bashir with clientele, you right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Thomas. Has the clientele changed since you worked there? If he has, in what ways, like what comes in and who comes in and when?
Well, we've had a few new people that come in and they love the pizza. They, "I just come from Arizona and I never tasted pizza like this before." So we could say, yeah, we've had our fair share of new clientele that have come in and they love the pizza and they've never ate pizza like that before and they've always come back.
There's something that we right. What's your reaction?
And we ship the pizza. We're not going to ship it, but we freeze the pizza for them, and they'll take it to Florida with them. That's how good our pizza is.
Wow. That's awesome. So what's your reaction like when somebody told you, "I never had any pizza like this before"? Like, as somebody who works in the store, what's your reaction to the customers?
Oh, it's a relief that they love the pizza. You know, cause some people in the neighborhood, the pizza tastes different, this and that. But when somebody comes and say, "Yo, this pizza is awesome, man. When did you make it?" "It's made it right now. We make it fresh." There's nothing to it. And they fall in love with it. And they always come back with the little kids. I've known this man since he was a little kid. He's not a little kid no more. That's from the pizza.
And the he's a pizza guy too, right?
Yeah, I quite enjoy myself having pizza. And this guy always makes it for me. And every day he makes it, it's just like delicious and stuff. So I'm very proud of what he does for his career.
I do my best.
That's amazing, Thomas. What is the most busy times in your store?
The most busiest time. What time is it now? about this time, about lunchtime and dinner time. Sometimes it gets busy, like around 8 o'clock at nighttime, right when we get ready to close. So it gets a hassle sometimes. You gotta go rush in, this and that. Sometimes we gotta make like 10 pies, and somebody orders 10 pies, and some lady will order like 8 big ziti's. So we have to rush. Wow. Yes, yes. The food is good, man. When you get a chance, you come over here and I'll show you, man.
Definitely, definitely. So that's like your rush hour. Do you develop bonds with people who enter in the shop? And if so, how, like, what are the strengths and weaknesses, opportunities, like people who enter in the shop? What kind of bonds do you create between them and the customers?
You make bonds for life. Like I said, I've known this kid since he was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10. And I've known him ever since. And sometimes the kids come in and I know them now, they're like 18 years old, like, "Damn, where the hell you been at?" Like, damn, I gotta look up to these kids now. They grew taller than me now. It's crazy.
Right. Since we are in pandemic, like with economic effects, what is there, like any economic effects, like technology, environmental or cultural or like legal challenges that you are facing at your store?
Well, now with the pandemic going on, it's been a hassle because now you cannot sit in the stores unless you show the vaccination card, and some people don't like that. When you try to ask them a question, they give you attitude. Like, why I gotta show you card for? Man, I'm not trying to get sick.
Right.
Some people in this neighborhood is just, they don't want to get the vaccine. They don't want to do nothing with themselves. They just want to just sit home, watch TV, curl up on the couch and get fat.
Very true.
In this pandemic, you can't do that right now. You just got to make sure your family's safe. Make sure you get the vaccine. It's important. Some people just don't want to get it. Some people say, "Oh, I'm not getting a vaccine because it's a you got a chip in your you're gonna put a chip in your arm." It's a bunch of nonsense. Look, the metal don't stick to my arm. People say, "Oh, I put a wrench to my arm and the wrench got stuck." Come on, man, it's just nonsense. You were just talking nonsense, scaring people.
I guess I got the device on my arm too because I got my vaccine.
You got both shots or one?
Yeah, I got both sides.
Can't mess around, man. Your family's important, man.
Yeah,
your family's sick.
All right. Has gentrification into your neighborhood, like, has gentrification affects your business in your neighborhood?
No, it just makes it. It just brings more business to the store. That's all. We're not discriminative about to anybody. We accept any race, culture. If you want to be bi, trend, doesn't matter. It's a business. We serving food. We gotta serve food to everybody. We're not gonna give you no food because you black, because you Chinese. No, we give it to everybody. Everybody's welcome in our store.
That's excellent. Thank you for that thoughtful answer. Next.
Next, thank you, Bashir. Next person would be person A, work since 2020, Kajia.
Okay, Kajia. For question A, What anxieties did you have about working at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Trying not to get sick. At first, I didn't want to get the shots at first. But then my mom's and my brother and everybody else, yo, you need to get the shot because you work in a food industry. You move around people every single day, different people, different people. You walking around my hand, unmasked. You have to be careful with this stuff nowadays. So it made me want to get the shot because I wanted to be safe for my family and my friends and everybody else.
Record. If you would like to redo work since 2020? Or the...
Yeah. I'm gonna do it. So, how has COVID impacted the workforce at your job?
Well, lately it kind of affected the job because we can't have people sitting in the store eating without them showing the vaccination card. And it's been a pretty hassle because some people have attitudes when you ask for the card. I know one time in Manhattan, they beat up some girl in Manhattan because they asked for the vaccination card. So it's been kind of scary asking people for the card. But some people are nice about it and they show us the card. Some people that don't show it, and the people that don't show it, they have to leave the store. They can't eat inside. So it's hurting us a little bit here and there. It's impacted a lot. Yeah. Especially a lot of stores in the neighborhood, actually. Because you see everything's like boarded up. They got plastics everywhere around the stores. It's like you in a fun house or something, like a weird looking place now. Everybody's all boarded up trying to get safe.
Definitely. So what measures, if any, does your store take in the battle against COVID-19?
Well, I've been using so much that soap. That's crazy. I've been killing the soap. We buying so much of those first aid soaps and everything, and trying to keep everybody safe in the store. That's about it. That's the only thing I can say. We've just been like crazy. Juicing up the arms, the hands and everything with them juices. Trying to keep clean. Use a lot of Clorox. Clean the stores, tables and everything. Make sure everything's clean and disinfected. You don't want to work in a shop where everybody gets sick. All it takes is one person to get sick in a store like that because we are close in the store where we bumping into each other and you got to make sure everybody's safe. Everybody got that vaccination in the store, so which is good. But it's been scary. It's been scary.
I guess that's it for me.
Okay, then. Thank you, Kagra.
You're so pretty.
Josery, your work since 2020. Brother, are you still there?
Yeah.
Jody, would you like to ask work since 2020 set of questions?
Yes. The number 9?
Yes, number 9. Yes.
Okay. Government step into a first support
No, they haven't. We haven't got no support from the government at all. Other than them sending the Board of Health to check a store, that's about the only thing I can say. Other than that, they haven't done nothing. They haven't given us no leeway, no money, nothing. No help at all.
Okay. Has the relationship between workers and business been altered due to government?
No, we all been working together for so many years that we kind of used to each other and we kind of help each other out. We don't try to look for help from other people. We just try to help each other out as much as we can. Because the government's not going to do it. We got to do it ourselves. We do the best that we can at what we have, the little that we have.
Yes. Have the protests of Black Lives that swept the city after murder of George Floyd impact your business?
No, not
yes.
really.
No?
It hasn't affected the business because the George Floyd thing. I know it affected a lot of other businesses, I could imagine.
Just yes.
When the area where it happened, I could imagine what's going on with them. With that situation, but no, it hasn't really affected us too much. We just see people talking about stories of what happened and so that's about it. Nothing really affecting us really.
Okay. And have any other protest movement impact your workplace? Another one?
No, we haven't had any protests or nothing in front of our store, really. No, can't say no. It's been pretty good with that kind of stuff, with the protesting and stuff. We haven't seen none of that.
Okay. How have you overcome the challenge of the past 2 years?
Well, over the past 2 years, just working, and now that I'm doing other things besides pizza, I'm trying to do music right now. That pandemic kind of helped me out a little bit because it turned me into a music producer. I produce music now for my friend and he raps over the beats. So in a way it's kind of made me to the person that I am today. So that's the challenge that I'm facing right now, is becoming a producer and my business up and running from scratch, from the ground floor up. That's what I'm working on when I meet my friend.
Okay. I'm sorry because there is a lot of noises and
okay, we hear you.
I'm like,
you got a lot of kids over there.
I am working right. Yeah, I'm working right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's right.
It's all good.
But yes.
Thank you for coming, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And does anyone else have any follow-up questions or anything like that? Thomas, do you feel like we need anything or?
No, that was a pretty good interview. Unless y'all want to ask something else, it's up to y'all. Y'all the interviewers.
Is everyone okay with the questions we asked?
Yeah, definitely. And Thomas, like Montgomery just said, is there anything you think like we should have asked you and we did not? Or anything you would like to add to the interview?
Well, you basically asked good questions and I'm happy to be here and I'm happy to give my 2 cents and help as much as I can. And I'm happy. I'm satisfied.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You're welcome, man.
A question I do have, actually. Are you still comfortable donating this oral history to a public collection?
Sure, why not? More the merrier. If it's going to help somebody and help somebody else, hey, more the merrier.
Right. And I guess with that, I would like to say thank you. and that later we're going to sign the form of consent and stuff like that. Yeah. But as of right now, everyone did their part, which was awesome, fantastic. We had a steady beat. And
two thumbs up.
Thank you for Thomas. He's a proud pizza worker that I'm always happy to buy pizza from.
You're welcome very much.
So I'm going to stop recording.